Yeah, we're in the realm of the mind, and we're in this this battle. We're in this battle. The devil has fiery darts, thoughts that impact our minds from nowhere. And you can be anywhere, and suddenly some thought comes to you. That is an awful thought, maybe a tempting thought, a blasphemous thought. And those are the arrows of the evil one. I mean, don't be surprised. You know, I remember one day, and I was thinking what atheism was like. Now, the Bible actually talks about atheism in Ephesians 2 and 12. We were without God, atheos. We were all atheists in that sense. But I thought, where did that thought come from? And then suddenly, you need to realize, get your helmet of salvation on. God has provided us with his own armor to protect us from those fiery arrows. And his armor will withstand anything. It'll withstand any. There's nothing armor piercing from the devil that can ever reach us. Yeah, I know armor piercing. They're fiery arrows, and you know the Romans. They had this really large shield. When Paul was talking about the armor, he was thinking of the Roman soldiers who were the greatest elite army the world has ever seen up to that time, and they had the shield that covered the whole body. And the shield was covered with leather, and they soaked the leather, didn't they? They soaked the leather so that when the arrows hit, they would be extinguished. And we have the Holy Spirit who soaks us in his own presence, soaks us in the Word of God. The Word of God is our shield. Yeah? You remember when Jesus. Oh, I love the way Jesus talked back to the devil. You know, there's that book by Tozer, isn't there? I Talk Back to the Devil. And, you know, that's a beautiful moment. And I only saw it recently. And you remember, you don't need to turn to this. I just mentioned it in passing. But the devil comes to Jesus and tempts him. And he says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of this temple where the devil had taken him to. And the pinnacle of the temple was about 400 feet high. Herod's temple was a massive, huge, massive place. And the devil quotes scripture at Jesus, and he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And the Lord answers him with scripture and says, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It's very interesting. You know, the devil quoted that verse in their hand, talking of the angels. He shall give his angels charge over you. Do you know which psalm that comes from? 91. Yeah. Do you know the next verse after the devil has quoted, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone? Do you know what the next verse is? You will tread on the serpent. It's interesting, the devil didn't quote that one at Jesus, isn't it? You will tread, here we are, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the serpent, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Interesting, isn't it? What the devil doesn't say to us. You know, and there are times when the devil comes and he tries to sow a thought in our minds. And we have the helmet of salvation that God has given to us. It's invisible, but it's there. Hallelujah. The salvation of Jesus Christ. We are dressed in his righteousness from head to toe. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is classic scripture on this particular point of being renewed in the spirit of our minds, because this is something we have to do. The Lord is our God, our shield. But when those arrows come, there are things that we have to do. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. Okay, so we're not using the fleshly mind. We can't We can't combat these spiritual powers by trusting in our own efforts. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly or carnal, but mighty in God for the demolition of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are mighty, they're powerful in God for the demolition of strongholds. And what are those strongholds? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is really important for us because this verse tells us that we have the ability by the Holy Spirit to bring every thought captive to Christ. So we are not passive prey of thoughts that the devil wants to shoot at us, fire off, you know, I've got a few arrows in my quiver, I'm going to fire off a few at him or her because I can see their minds wandering, you know, he can see things we can't see, you know, or maybe their minds dwelling on some particular thing that's not helpful, ping, you know, here, have another thought, you know, or maybe, you know, we're kind of, somebody has upset us and we're sitting there or we're walking around and suddenly you find yourself in a train of thought and you don't know how you've got to that place in your train of thinking, but you know it's not charitable towards that person who you started thinking about. Yeah? Do we find this happen sometimes? Yeah, because we're in the flesh and the devil knows us and we're in a warfare. But God says we can bring those thoughts to captivity to Jesus Christ. And the way we do it, firstly, if we've let ourselves go along a train of thought and we realize that we've gone into uncharitableness, unkindness in our thinking, what do we do? Well, firstly, we repent. Repent. Turn around from that. That's the first thing. That's the first thing we have to do. And repentance is always a way of life for us. It brings us into the presence of God. You know, it's always a good thing to do is to come before God and say, Lord, I just repent before you. And even if you don't know if you have anything to repent of, just say, Lord, I repent because I want to be close to you and I don't want anything to be between us. And we, if there are thoughts, yeah, we have to then, we repent and we immediately grasp that thought at the forefront of our mind. If it's come into our mind, we throw it out. We throw it out and say, I'm not going to think about that person in that way anymore. I'm going to take that stronghold. I'm going to demolish that stronghold in my mind. You know, and there are sometimes we can have strongholds in our mind that go way, way back. And maybe they inhibit our walk in the Spirit today. And only the Lord can show us these things. Only the Holy Spirit can show us because we're all unique individuals, aren't we? And there are things that, you know, and God is, there is no condemnation. If the Holy Spirit shows us, it comes with conviction, not with condemnation. Yeah, there is no condemnation. I remember a time in my life and I lived under condemnation and it was awful. It was awful, horrendous. And it was like my mind was a, you know, I just felt I just had no ability to get through this. But the interesting thing was every single day, because I, you know, it put me off reading the Bible and spiritual activities and so on. But every single day there was a verse from the Lord that kept me on an even keel and helped me to understand that my life was hid with Christ in God. And nobody and nothing could take me out of that place. And it didn't, and it was a thing I had to go through. And I look back now and I say, thank you, Lord, you took me through there because you showed me that there was something unshakable in this life. If you ever read the books of Jeffrey Bull, God Holds the Key, The Iron Gate, he was a missionary in Tibet. And then all his books are interesting. And I had the privilege of meeting him once in my hometown. And he was a missionary in Tibet. And then in the Chinese communists invaded Tibet, which they still hold. And they put him in jail. And they tried to brainwash him. And if you kind of can read the details of that in the book, but the thing, and I'm sorry if I'm not remembering this totally correctly, but I believe this is what happened, that the bottom line for him was that they couldn't wash out of him Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still, in the green pastures, beside the still waters. They couldn't wash that away from his mind and his heart. He knew that he was rooted in God. And yeah, praise God. This is what God does for us when our mind is renewed by the Holy Spirit. But this is what we have to do. We have to take every thought captive. So if you know a thought has come, you know, ping, it just comes out of the blue, there you take it prisoner before it ever gets into your mind. And you take it prisoner at the forefront of your mind and you reject it from that place. It's when things go deep into our minds that's when the trouble can begin. And things then begin to fester, because they're not only fiery darts, they're also poison darts. And they try to, the devil wants to fester things in us against our brothers and against our sister, you know, against anybody who's might have upset us. And we just simply need then just to repent and come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. I'm pointing the finger, but actually there's three fingers pointing at me. You know, Lord, this is me. This is me. And Lord, please help me. Please set me free. And if necessary, if you find it comes again and again and again, and you can't get free, then that's the time to ask a brother or sister to come and pray with you and help you and break the bondage of that thing. Hallelujah. Cast demolishing, the demolition. Our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for the demolition of strongholds. Glory to his name. Okay, what else can we do by to allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into the renewed mind? If we go to Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, here's another weapon in our armory. And this is something that we have to do. Thank God we don't know what's going on in the invisible realms. Thank God we don't know. Principalities and powers are doing stuff all over the place, and we know nothing about it. Thank God. Yeah. But what we do know, God has revealed to us the way of salvation in Christ through his holy book. Hallelujah. And through the Holy Spirit. And he shows us things that we can do now to keep ourselves in the love of God, to keep ourselves close to Christ, to keep our minds on that path of constant renewal in the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Yeah, so this is something we have to do, is deliberately set our minds on spiritual things. Is this easy to do? Well, personally, I don't find it easy to do. I find I like to get up in the morning and have some time with the Lord at that time of day, because that suits me, with a cup of coffee and, you know, time to wake up. But I deliberately have to set my mind on the things of God. And it can be a battle. I don't know, ever since COVID time, it's been even more of a battle than it was before, which is interesting. But I find the thing that helps me most is Spurgeon's daily readings on my mobile. I go there first of all. It's on Bible Gateway. And these are great things. If you have a mobile or you have a tablet, Bible Hub or Bible Gateway, free devotions. There's YouVersion. There is Light, which is daily light every day. You can get that coming in digitally. Sometime, you know, we feel like, oh Lord, I just need something, and we read something, and somehow the light and the gentleness of Christ begins to take hold of our hearts and our minds, and seep into our consciousness. I find that way really helps me, and I guess many of you here do that too. But here it is. There's a deliberate setting of our minds on things above. And you think of Mary when stuff happened to her early in her life, she pondered things in her heart. I love that word ponder. It's a good old English word, to ponder something. You think, well, yeah, it means to think about it, turn it over in your mind. Look at it in different lights. Think of it, you know, as a precious jewel. And as you turn it, different lights flash out of it, different colors. The Bible talks about the many-colored grace of God. And as we allow our minds to just meditate on these things, and it may be just a word, okay, we come to the scriptures, and it may be just a word or a phrase, and suddenly you find it's alive to you. And it's life to you. It's not only alive, it's life. I just remember one thing. This was going back, and Ruth and I were both ill at the same time, more or less, and we had to make a long journey. And you know, it knocked us out, you know, and physically it takes time to get strength back, doesn't it? And I just, one morning, as you do, you open your Bible, read in a psalm, and this one just leapt out of the page. And I just want to read this, because this was a personal thing and it meant everything to me that day. I will wait for you, O you my strength, for God is my defense. And then there's this word, my God of mercy shall come to meet me. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. And on the strength of that word, I could drive for quite a few hours and not feel like I was going to collapse at the wheel, thankfully. My God of mercy, that's in Psalm 59, verse 10. My God of mercy will come to meet me. And that day when I needed something, I needed to set my mind on things of God first, and he would look after the events of the day. And there are days like that, aren't there, when we get up and we think, I've got to do this today. Lord, I got no strength whatsoever. And the Lord says, set your minds on things above. Set your heart on the things of God. Let the word of God just come to you, even if it's just a single verse, and it will renew your mind, and it will be in part inner strength. We know these things, but we have to do them. Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6. This is the fight of faith that we are in, beloved, and we have to give ourselves to this fight, knowing that the Lord is for us and not against us. He is with us in it. He is our commander in chief, and as we yield ourselves to him, so he picks us up and he puts us in the battle, but he is the one who is fighting. Hallelujah. He said to his army, to Joshua, I'll send my hornets in front of you. Imagine that, an army of hornets hitting the enemy before you ever reach them. You know, no wonder they could slaughter them en masse. They were already riddled with hornet stings. And imagine one hornet sting must be pretty painful, let alone be, you know, an army of hornets all, yeah, stinging them to death. Anyway, here we are, Galatians 6. Do not be deceived. Verse 7, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So in our minds, we sow to the Spirit by giving ourselves to spiritual exercises, as they used to be called, meditating on the Word of God, searching the Word of God, giving ourselves to waiting on the Lord, because as we wait on the Lord, so we find ourselves being lifted into his presence as on eagle's wings, invisibly. God is greater. God is above all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His power is over all the power of the enemy. Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. That's wonderful, isn't it? And we're going to just go back to Romans again, chapter 8, and see where the Holy Spirit imparts that power to us. And I want to come down to verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Okay, so we have to yield ourselves to the leading of the Spirit. And if the Spirit's drawing your heart to go and pray, go and pray. If the Spirit's drawing your heart to go and visit a brother or sister or somebody, go and visit them. If the Lord's drawing your heart to get involved in some activity in your church in some way that you've never done before, go and talk to somebody and let the Holy Spirit draw you into that operation of His where He wants you to be involved, because He has a slot already appointed for you in a particular in your shape. Okay, those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For as you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The interesting thing about a joint heir is that the other heir would not operate without the permission of the other. Christ has yoked Himself to the church in a way that is indescribably amazing. So we are joint heirs with Christ, and He's saying, okay, we're joint heirs, we'll do this together. I won't do anything without you. And we live in an age, okay, that's possibly in the future, we don't know the implications of that verse. But there are implications in this age. If we just flip over into verse 26 and 27. The Lord wants us to lead a childlike life in simplicity. And there are times when the Lord says something to us and you think, is that really you, God? Do you really, want me to do that? And it may be just a simple thing. And the Lord says, yes, just believe me in this. Just trust me in this. And sometimes, God does these things, and we're involved in a little outreach in West Kirby, and we opened a warm space, and one person came. Oh Lord, all this effort and all the cost and everything else. Okay, Lord, is this really what you want? But the Lord said it to us to do it through praying together, and just letting Him speak to us and sharing with each other, the four couples, that's all we are. And one person has come, but she's kept on coming. And she's in her 80s, she's a lovely lady, full of life, but she says, please don't stop doing this. I love coming here. And there's something where the love of God is touching her heart, we believe. And she's brought other ladies with her, two of whom have had falls and ended up in hospital. But this is the battle. And okay, we're doing what God says. That's the most important thing. And things where we obey God and act on His word, we can trust that God's, all of God's power and resources will be behind us. God will tax our furthest star, Oswald says, to fulfill His purposes on earth through the likes of you and me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And here we are in the realm of prayer. Okay, we live a childlike life. Jesus said, oh, Father, I thank you that you've revealed these things to babes. It's not to the clever. It's not to the super intelligent. It's not to those who've got degree after degree after degree after their name. But it is to people who will open their hearts to God and let the Holy Spirit renew their minds and renew our wills and renew our submission to God, our giving of ourselves to God, so that He can have every part of us. Glory to His wonderful name. And when we do that, God does stuff. And hallelujah. And in Romans, so the childlike walk, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I'm worried that your minds will get corrupted away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Simplicity means singleness. Corruption is duplicity, doubleness. Okay, so single-hearted for Christ, single-minded for Christ. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, instead of us, reaching out through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes the deepest prayers are those that only come out in a sob or a cry from the deepest places in our hearts. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now this is where we need to walk in the Spirit. That is, we need to allow the Spirit of prayer to take hold of our hearts and our minds in a conscious giving ourselves to him as we come before God. You know, David said, I set the Lord always before me. And there's something about setting the Lord before you when you come to pray, and then opening your heart to God and saying, Lord, please take us up on the wings of the Spirit into the realm of prayer where you want us to be. And lay on our hearts, Lord, bring to our minds, give us prayers of the Holy Spirit. Give us your Holy Spirit, please give us your prayers now for this nation, give it for this community, for our church, for the churches where we are, Lord, for our brothers and sisters who don't yet know you, Lord Jesus, please give us your prayers. It's fantastic that here, Rora, you're planning to have a week of prayer in the days ahead. I think that's wonderful. It gives God an opportunity to speak into the body, into the congregation, into his body locally here, and say what he wants to say. And it was from a week of prayer that we began our outreach in another part of the Wirral, and who knows where that will go. But praise God, among ourselves, two of the young people in the group have been baptized in the last 6 months, because they saw that Jesus was real and they wanted to give their lives to him, fully to him. Fantastic. So here we are. God, by his Holy Spirit, leads us into intercession. And that is an amazing work that God wants us to be involved in. I just read today on the internet, there's a big argument going on in the background. Please don't record this bit. Can you turn it off? Here we are. We can pray on the grounds of obedience and confession. James says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is very powerful and works with God. Hallelujah. It's on the grounds of being open with each other, of yielding ourselves to each other, in humbling ourselves to each other, and say, sorry, I'm really sorry, I was wrong in that, but I come to you and I'm, please forgive me, brother. Please forgive me, sister. I want to be right with you. I want to be right with God. And in an instant, God wipes it all away. Hallelujah. This is his grace. The moment we confess whatever is between us and God, or between us and another brother or sister, God wipes it away. Hallelujah. That's his grace. Jesus died so that we might be one with each other and know the fullness of his life flowing in our churches, in our meeting together, hallelujah, so that he can pour out his Spirit on us again. Just after that, in James 5:18, and we read about Elijah who prayed again, and God sent the rain. God sent the rain. Okay, this is James 5 and 18. And Elijah, he's prayed for drought, and he got drought. And 5:18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Hallelujah. We come before God constantly, don't we? Repentance is a way of life. We can come before God, and we all do make mistakes. None of us are perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. Hallelujah. Only Jesus. And he's working in you and me to bring us into his perfections. And it's not a perfection of never always doing the right thing, always being absolutely perfectly dressed or whatever, but it's a perfection of pleasing God, pleasing the Father, which Jesus did. Hallelujah. Always. He said, I always do the things that please him. So what conclusion do we come to? Well, we come in the end of Romans, it says this. Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. More than conquerors. We are super conquerors, the word is. We're not superheroes, but we're super conquerors. We are hupo nikaioi. We more than conquer. Why? Because of ourselves? No way. But it's because of Jesus who lives in us and who enables us to overcome in circumstances that would have floored us before we knew him. Oh hallelujah. Or before the Holy Spirit came and we yielded ourselves to his control. Praise his wonderful name. And there's still loads to learn. There's still loads to learn. Isn't that wonderful? Till he comes. Paul writes here, he's talking about who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble or stress or things happening? Fear of the future? Yeah, we're not going to be afraid of the future, because in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He will love us today. Will he love us tomorrow? Of course he will. And the day after, and the day after, his love is already way ahead of us into the future. And he will keep us in his love. What is our work? Our work is to proclaim him. And I just want to finish by reading this. This is from Samuel Zwema, who was a missionary among Muslims. And he's quoting somebody who's written to him and is saying, they are saying, they live in a Muslim country, we now have the freedom to witness for Christ, but it may at any moment be taken from us, and so we must be careful to use it aright. What is the heart of our message, the one indispensable truth which we must press home? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's our message. Behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb. And as we learn to walk more closely with the Lord, and this is for all of us, where whatever stage of life we're at, we all want to walk more closely with him in his love, walk in faith, trusting him that his way is best, his will is best for us, yielding ourselves to him, walking in the light of Christ's countenance, who is looking on us with affection and love and delight when we walk in faith, when we walk in love, when we walk with him, hallelujah, and when we let his Holy Spirit have control of our lives. Bless his wonderful name. So I think it'd be really good if we just spend a bit of time in worship now, yeah? And let the Lord, just give the Lord our love, and see where we go with that, yeah?